hurts. So, moving to the next mitzvah. The next mitzvah is the prohibition of ribbis, charging interest.
How many mitzvahs involve?
So this actually involves, the Rambam says, six different prohibitions.
Wow.
Charging ribbis, charging interest. Where we are in our count, this is number 572. It's also earlier in the count. It's also number 68 and 343, and also other things are involved as well. But this actually appears in the Torah several times, this prohibition. There's another mitzvah which is relevant to this, which is also that you're not allowed to charge ribbis to a Jew, but you could charge interest to a goy. And that's mitzvah number 573. So those two things go together, that you're allowed to charge to a non-Jew, but you cannot charge to a Jew.
So, and the Christians were not very happy about that one.
Right, yeah, well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit too. But this prohibition is very complex. This is not a halacha shiur today, so I'm not going to get into the complexities of the prohibition. It does come up very often in day-to-day dealings we have, whether it be loans, business dealings, you know, deposits, and banks, things like that. So I will talk about some examples. But ultimately, you know, ask your rabbi any questions, because it does come up a lot in day-to-day dealings in life. The prohibition includes whether you are the borrower or the lender. You can lend with interest or borrow with interest. So even if you're the borrower and you say, I don't mind, I need the loan, I will pay interest, it doesn't bother me, you're not allowed to. It's still prohibited by the Torah. You also can't be a co-signer on a loan that has interest involved. So if someone wants you to co-sign on the document or to stand behind, be the guarantor of a loan, you can't do it if there's ribbis involved. Additionally, you can't be a witness to such a loan. So if they want you to be the witness to testify this loan actually occurred, you can't stand by and be that witness to the loan, because this loan is prohibited to be given out based on Torah law. The Torah warns about this, you know, many, many times. As I said before, the Rambam counts six prohibitions involved in lending with ribbis, with interest. So it's a very, very strict and severe prohibition in the Torah. It actually seems to be more severe than we would have thought. You know, we would think it's just a regular prohibition. It's actually, you know, six times worse on other things.
Eating, not to eat insects, is only two prohibitions.
Well, insects depends on the kind. Some are six also, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Eating flying insect, I think, is six prohibitions.
No kidding.
So
I didn't know that.
It's also a serious prohibition in the Torah. Right. The Sefer Chinuch actually says that we should be very grateful that the Torah gives extra warnings about certain things. Meaning, we view it from the other direction. We say, well, it must be bad because the Torah said it six times. But really, it's bad because it's bad. The Torah does a chesed for us. The Torah cares about us, and therefore says, I'm warning you a lot of times, but it's because it's really bad. So we should be grateful that Hashem warns us about this so many times in the Torah, so we avoid it, being that it's such a serious prohibition. We'll have to figure out why this is. But it's, you know, as a parent will warn a child about doing something dangerous. Don't run the street, don't run the street, don't run the street. You'll keep on saying it. So when Hashem warns us several times about a prohibition, it means this is a very serious thing. I want you to stay far, far away. So that's the severity of the prohibition. Before I get to the prohibition, I'm going to take it from the flip side for a second. Your question?
Quickly, did you see in your email meeting at the yeshiva?
I don't think so.
I saw at the yeshiva.
Oh, he said, no, he says you're the Rebbe of the yeshiva.
Yes, it says my title there, but we always meet here. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. You went to the yeshiva? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I went there.
Okay, yeah, no, we always meet here. Been here for many years now.
Thank you.
Okay, before we get into the prohibition, I want to talk more about what you're allowed to do. I mean, the Torah says you're allowed to charge interest to non-Jews. So as was said before, that's been a subject of controversy over the generations. Namely because, you know, Jews, unfortunately, in many, many societies, were banned from many professions. And it was a classic Jewish trait to moneylenders, because we couldn't do anything else, typically. We weren't allowed to enter into the different, what do you call them, you know, the different guilds, you know, for craftsmen. We couldn't own stores. We couldn't own land. I mean, we had so many things we couldn't do in many societies. So we were resigned to being moneylenders. Mm-hmm. And being moneylenders, the way we made profit was through interest. And the Torah allows that. But the non-Jews weren't happy about that, because they said, well, you don't lend to your own people with interest, so why are you charging interest to us? And they got upset about it. There's actually a story. It's famous that Napoleon, his views on Jews were kind of uncertain. We have some sources that Napoleon was very supportive of Jews, and some sources say he really hated Jews. It was unclear how he felt about Jews. But one famous incident with Napoleon was that Napoleon was trying to figure out, you know, are the Jews going to be Frenchmen or Jews? What's primary for them? What's the priority? So he convened his Sanhedrin. He convened 71 rabbis, and he sat them down, and included both, you know, there were some laymen involved, there were some prominent rabbis involved, and some rabbis that weren't as prominent as they could have been, who were involved as well. And he sat them all down, and he gave them a list, I think, of 12 questions to answer. Basically, the questions are relevant to things which occur between Jew and non-Jew, things which will define you, are you primarily a Jew or a Frenchman? That is what he was trying to get at. So one of his questions that he posed was, are you allowed to lend money with interest to Jews? And are you allowed to lend money with interest to non-Jews? And he wanted the rabbis to give him a final resolution on that question. So they had to be very diplomatic in how they answered. They also had to follow the halacha. You know, they can't deny the Torah. That they couldn't do. But they also have to make sure that they don't upset Napoleon. So it actually, what happened at that point, you know, the head of the Sanhedrin, his name was Rav Yosef David Zinsheim. He was one of the great rabbis in France at the time. And the way they answered the question, they kind of left it somewhat ambiguous. But they said, from here on out, we won't charge interest to non-Jews. So at least in that time in France, they stopped charging interest to non-Jews as well. But even though Torah allows it, they resolved together in the Sanhedrin not to do it because of the repercussions of such a move in that time in history. So that's an interesting historical note. And throughout history, that's always been a controversy because we do allow charging to non-Jews, not to Jews. The Abarbanel, who was a great Spanish rabbi, he points out that the Christians very often come to us with this complaint. And they would say to us that we see that your acts of kindness are only in your own interest. Because look, when if you think you're so righteous and you give out free loans, what about to your non-Jewish neighbors? You don't care about them. So we see that you're acting in your own self-interest. But when it comes to making money off non-Jews, you're happy to do it. That was their complaint. So the Abarbanel says you got it all wrong. He says, let's think about it for a second. Is charging interest right or wrong? You know, if we didn't forget the Torah for a second. But we feel charging interest is a proper thing or an improper thing. So why is charging interest different than renting out your car? No one expects me to give out my car for free. No one expects me to rent out my apartment for free. No one expects me to rent out my tools for free. I mean, it's nice to do it. You know, if I have a friend who needs a tool or a car, it's nice to lend it out. But no one sees a problem in asking for rent. You know, that's typical everyday life. We ask for rent for items that we own. So when someone gives a loan with interest, essentially it's just charging rent for your money. This is my money. I worked hard. I made money. Essentially, I should use my money for my own personal benefit. You want to use my money, that's fine. But there's going to be a rental fee. It's a typical practice in business. You know, we all, you know, we take out loans from banks. We have mortgages. You know, it's commonplace in every life, in every society, through history. So is charging interest is not immoral. Charging interest is not unethical. Charging interest is not bad. And this is what many commentaries say. There's nothing bad essentially to charging interest. So the answer to the non-Jew is the opposite. It's that there's nothing wrong with charging interest. Charging interest is essentially not a bad thing. It's a regular business practice. So when it comes to non-Jews, there's no problem with me charging interest because why shouldn't I? So what's the reason not to charge to Jews? So we'll speak more about this, but it's because not charging to Jews is a special favor you do to someone close in your family. You know, if your brother comes to you and wants a loan to set up a big deal with interest, we don't do it because we feel we care for our brother. Or sometimes we do if we had to, you know, if we are allowed to, we might. But typically we say, you know, you're my brother, you're my sister. I want to help you out. Take a free loan. You know, you can pay back at your leisure. That's what we would do because that's something that has to do with being with amongst brothers and sisters. We act differently. But we don't look at interest as something which is immoral or unethical. We look at it as, if you charge interest to a Jew, we look at it as that you are sort of tearing apart your feeling of brotherhood and achdus and unity as being part of the Jewish people. That's how we view it. So the Abarbanel says the response to this Christian complaint is that the ribbis really, the interest is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with it, essentially. We just treat family a little differently, like we all do. And that's natural in human life. The Ramban, the way he explains it, is that the reason that the interest is prohibited amongst Jews is mitzad achva v'chesed. It's an idea of brotherhood and kindness. But it's not because interest is bad. It's not a bad thing. Stealing is bad. And the halacha is you can't steal from a non-Jew. But ribbis is not bad. It's just something you don't charge interest to a family member. You know, someone who you're very close with, you don't charge interest to them. And that's where it's coming from. Yeah.
you are a Jew, I lend you money. The idea is once your business, your enterprise flourishes, you will make donations. It's implied.
The donations? I mean, I'm talking
that once your business, once your loan achieves purpose, you will somehow automatically or intuitively pay back. You will make a donation.
I'll pay back, but I can't pay you extra.
Not pay back.
Yeah.
You will pay back the capital for sure.
Right.
When I make a loan to a Jew, the Jew pays back the capital, right?
Right, that's for sure, yes.
And the interest comes in the form of donation, free donation.
So even that's a problem. That's not allowed unless it's set up the right way. I'll get more to details in a little while, but that's also not allowed.
Not allowed.
We'll talk more of the details of what is and what's not allowed. But that's not allowed. Why?
Yeah, because this was founded on, yeah. No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll talk more about what you can and can't do. But really, I'm giving back extra donations because of the loan you gave me. That's also considered interest.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about it. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to frame it a little bit that we don't look at interest as something which is immoral, unethical, dishonest. It's normal business practice. And all of us have loans of interest. Anyone who has a mortgage, a car loan, college, that's how we function. That's how societies work, and it's expected and normal and fine. It's just that amongst brothers and sisters, you know, as a sign of unity of the Jewish people, then we don't act in that way. And again, I'm going to get more into that as we go through.
It's a kol Yisrael chaverim, we look at each other as brothers.
Right.
That's right.
Right, and then that's how we have to act. So the Torah urges us to act that way as well with these prohibitions. So I want to get into some more specifics a little bit. Again, I'm not getting into detail. Those are more questions that need to be asked individually to your own rabbi when the time comes up. But just to give sort of a framework of where the prohibition does lie. So as we said, it's Jew to Jew. So you could take out a loan from a non-Jew and pay the non-Jew interest, and you can give a loan to a non-Jew with interest. So technically, you know, in America, we assume a majority of people are non-Jewish, and when you take out a loan from your bank, that loan is a debt to a non-Jewish entity. That's how we view it. If you have a car loan or a mortgage, etc., even though you're paying plenty of interest on these things, that's fine. The Torah prohibition of interest, we call it, you know, what's called ribis katsutza in Hebrew. It's the absolute, you know, Torah prohibited ribis, is when you literally arrange a loan for profit. It has to be arranged from the start. I'm going to give you $1,000 and you pay back $1,100. Right? It's been arranged from the start that I gained more money than I gave you. Whether it be a percentage which is added on, or a rate, whether it be a set value, but the Torah prohibition is where you have a loan given, and the initial deal made is that you will pay back more than I gave you. Now that's the simple prohibition of ribis. Additionally, if the arrangement is, let's say I give you a loan, I take collateral. So let's say I give you a $10,000 loan, and as collateral, I get to I use your car. Let's say. So if you're going to pay me back the $10,000, and plus I'm using your car, that's also ribis. Because in addition to getting back the capital, I'm also getting benefit from the loan, which is using your car. So that itself is also considered a Torah prohibition of interest, of ribis. If you want to say that the longer it takes, the more you pay back to me, there's going to be a $25 a month late fee for this loan. It's also ribis. Because every month, you know, you're paying me a bit more money back because you're delaying the repayment of the loan. It's also an issue. In this type of ribis, this type of interest, when collected, a beis din has the right to come and take it back from the collector and give it back to the borrower. So this could be prosecuted in a beis din. They can come in and they can say, you collected ribis with your loan, we're taking all the money back and giving it back to the borrower. That could be done. That still could technically be done, even nowadays, you know, in a beis din setting. So that's Torah prohibited ribis. So that's, again, these are just some examples. There's some rabbinically prohibited ribis. So what's rabbinically prohibited ribis? What are some examples? So one example is referred to in the Mishnah. It's called Son Barzel. The case of Son Barzel is the following. It's where, let's say I have, an example the Mishnah would give us, I have a cow. Right? So I say to you, here, take my cow. You're going to be fully responsible to give me back the value of that cow. In addition to that, we're going to split the profits or the offspring of that cow. So you're taking care of the cow, and that cow is essentially a loan. You will be back the full value of the cow, but plus you're going to work for me and give me half the produce of this cow. So again, I'm getting more back than I loaned to you. I gave you a cow to use, and I'm getting back more than I gave you. So that's also, that's rabbinically prohibited ribbis. That's also considered ribbis.
So this is tzon barzel?
Tzon barzel it's called, yeah. Because it, literally the tzon, the sheep I gave you, it's, yeah. I'm getting that money back. It's barzel. I get it back. It's iron sheep is literally the translation. Mm-hmm. So because the sheep I get back no matter what, and plus I'm going to get back more based on whatever you produce with it. Let's say I have a case where I give you right now, let's say a fruit is not yet in season. So I go in, it's not like this too much anymore, but let's say I go to a farmer's market or something. And I say, you know, right now it's not yet peach season, right? But I'll make you a deal. I want to get 4 pounds of peaches when the season comes. So I'll give you now $10. And that'll secure for me 4 pounds of peaches. Now, fast forward till peach season. So it could be that peaches are worth less than the money I gave. But he still didn't give me 4 pounds of peaches. So at that point, I've taken interest because the seller has actually paid back more than I should have. Right. So that's also a rabbinic ribbis. So there's a lot of cases like that. Again, some are more common to us than others. But these are all cases we would call, whether it be Torah ribbis or rabbinic ribbis, but these are all issues. Beyond this,
what happens in Israel where they're giving all these loans to Jews?
I'll get to that. That's complicated. I'll get to that. it's a very complicated thing.
How does the banking system work
in Israel? I'm going to talk about it. It's complicated, but we'll talk about it.
Not very well.
that's true as is. But there's something called ribbis mukdemis, now early ribbis, which means that before a loan's even given, I send you something to kind of entice you to give me a loan. So I send you, a box of chocolate. And I say, I could really use a loan from you. So that's also a problem, even though I haven't taken out a loan yet, because you're gaining extra based on the loan that you will give. There's something called ribbis milcheris, delayed ribbis, which is more like the case Daniel was saying before. I take a loan, I pay back, and then later on, I feel indebted to you, and I give you something extra later on because of the loan I got. That's also a problem, because again, the lender is making money in some way off the loan. It wasn't set up with the loan, so it's going to be rabbinic, but it's still a problem because you've now made money off the loan. The Mishnah says, even if I share with somebody extra information because they gave me a loan that I wouldn't have shared otherwise, it's also ribbis. So let's say that someone gives me a loan, and because of that, I feel inclined to call them up and tell them good news, or to share with them something, a tip, or a good deal I found this, just because I got a loan from them. So now I'm going out of my way to do something for someone that gave me a loan. That's also an issue. So on the one hand, we feel inside, I have gratitude, and I want to show them my appreciation, but we're not allowed to, because a person is not allowed to make money or gain at all off a loan which is given. So these are all cases which many are very relevant to us, many less relevant. Even sharing, if someone gives you a loan, you could say thank you. But to profusely show them how much it means to you, I'm so happy, I really, really appreciate it. When you get a little bit too mushy-gushy with your loan, that could be ribbis, because you're going beyond just regular, everyday manners, but you're actually giving them a lot more credit for what they've done. So even though deep down we want to show them that thanks, that could be an issue. So again, each thing you can ask your rabbi what's right, what's not right to do, but these are all issues of ribbis. Why is it so bad? So Rav Hirsch discusses the following. Rav Hirsch says that the term in Hebrew for a loan, it's called halva'a, love, is to borrow or to lend. That's the word. That same word, love, is related to the word, what we'd say, levaya. Levaya is a funeral, but levaya means to escort somebody. A funeral is a levaya because you're escorting out the person who's deceased. It's to escort somebody, it's to connect with somebody. When Levi is...
Levayas
Orchim, escorting out your guests. When Levi is born, so his mother, Leah, says, Ata Yilava Ishi Eli, my husband will now connect with me because I had a third child. It's connection. It's escorting, it's connecting, it's being part of somebody else, attaching. So Rav Hirsch says that the idea of giving a loan is that we're attaching to somebody else so that he or she can benefit from it. I'm kind of getting involved in your profits. I'm getting involved in your interest, not we're talking about, but your interests, your best interests, so that you can succeed. So that's why the term loveth is related to connecting. I'm connected to a person. He says that when the Torah first tells us about giving loans, The wording used is in Kesef Talves Amia. The Torah says, if you lend money to my nation. In our first says, we see lending money is a national responsibility. We as Jews have to support each other. One of the greatest forms of chesed is giving a loan, because a person is able to then become independent and get on their own 2 feet based on the loan. So our first says that a loan is really attaching yourself to another person and taking responsibility for your nation. That's what a loan does. The Maharal says further that a loan creates a unity of the Jews when there's money flowing freely amongst Jews. And we don't mean in terms of stuck, we mean in terms of loans. I don't have to give away my money except for my limited stucca, but giving loans is allowing us to be able to benefit from each other and not lose out. That's an important part of the unity of Klal Yisrael. So the Maharal says that charging interest really breaks up the unity of Klal Yisrael. He says the opposite of unity is charging interest. Why is that? Because now, instead of taking responsibility for others, what I'm doing is I'm just profiting off of your need. So in business, you're allowed to profit. But we believe in capitalism. However, when it comes to a loan, which really is a sign of unity amongst brethren, if you profit from that, you've broken up the achdus, the unity of Klal Yisrael. So the Maharal says, it's my duty to my nation to give out loans. And if I'm starting to become profiting from it, that's breaking up that unity. That's the issue. Our possessions really belong to Hashem. And Hashem demands of us to give to others. Rav Hirsch says the highest duty of social brotherhood, is the way he calls it, is giving out loans. Well, giving out loans is considered a very, very significant thing. So again, charging interest is not inherently wrong. It's different than a rental. But if it's going to break up the unity of your people, if you're going to see yourself as not responsible for others, but just that I can profit off the situation, so then you've kind of separated yourself from the unity of Klal Yisrael. That's the way that it's described. Rav Hirsch says, again, in his beautiful way, he says you want to set up a society where not the poor man, it's not the poor man who has to search for the rich man. You know, we go out looking to help others. We go out helping to give others loans, and those loans are going to be for their benefit, and not for our benefit. The Hebrew term used in the Torah for interest, one term used is neshech. Neshech literally means to bite. Because interest does bite. You know, interest is something which can swallow a person up. And we know people who get really, they drown in their debts. And that's because of the interest involved. A credit card debt, if somebody doesn't pay off their credit card, it keeps on accumulating and accumulating until they're totally buried by it. So it's called neshech because it bites away at you. And that's why it's something which, even though it's inherently wrong, there's such a risk in giving out these loans to others. The Torah says, in terms of unity of the Jewish people, we want to be able to, give to others without charging interest. So I want to maybe talk about some practical cases, just a few. Again, there's many applications, but just to put a few in our mind. Ribbis applies both in terms of loans and also in terms of business dealings. So just, I guess, as an aside, you're asking more about how you do it in modern Israel. So in modern Israel, there are bank systems, and they do give out loans with interest. And how is that orchestrated halachically? So there is something which is called a heter iska. Heter iska is a halachic formulation of setting it up to be more of a business deal than a loan. Again, it's a very complex setup. We're not going to go through it right now. But essentially, if the loan can be legally defined, rather than being a loan, but being a business partnership. Meaning I'm allowed to have a partner business. We both put in money. We both profit. That's fine to do. That's not considered interest. That's considered a business partnership, and that's okay halachically. So as long as a loan can be structured in the right way, and a bank can be set up under the right framework, then you can view every single loan not as a loan with interest, but yet as a business partnership where we both profit off of it. That's how it works. The complexities of it are complex, and that's up to the rabbis in Israel to deal with this on a constant basis. There's standard things from the rabbinate in Israel, the rabbanut, which they set up with the banks. So it's not a simple process. It's a very complex legal process, but ultimately what we're trying to do is shift it from being a loan into being a business partnership. That's how you do it.
This looks fine to me.
What?
This looks fine.
Yeah, it is fine. It has to be done the right way.
I'm health, I strive, I flourish.
Right.
And then what? And then, so the loan has produced a yield, and then, since I am benefiting, I share that profit to the entity which has lended me money.
Right, but
reasonable.
But you have to view it, I guess you view it more as an investment than as a loan, what you're trying to get. Legally, it has to be defined that way.
Investment or partnership is the same thing.
Right, yeah, but not as a loan. If it's defined as a loan, you end up with these issues. It has to be halachically structured, you know, based on a contract, based on the way the rabbis have defined it, to be more of a partnership.
Should the Hebrew Free Loan Society change its name?
Well, they have free. No, because they have free loans. If their loans are free, there's no issue.
These
are free loans. Yeah, there's no interest.
Free loan is okay.
Yeah, so that's a mitzvah. Free loans are a mitzvah.
It's the interest.
It's the interest of the problem.
Another question.
Yeah.
I know it's a doctor, very wealthy, $500,000 a year, let's say, he makes. He refuses to sponsor me, let's say. He refuses. Is he committing a sin?
I think that's more of an individual question in a specific situation. I don't know if that's
you can apply it
No, it would depend on him. It would depend on the person. And depend on the person being sponsored. There's a lot of details there which we can get into. That's what I'm saying.
You're not required to sponsor somebody,
right? Again, there's a mitzvah to give a loan, but you also don't have to waste your money if you feel the person is not going to be able to pay you back. If you don't trust what they're doing, you're allowed to look into the person and make sure they're capable of taking the loan. That's okay to do.
Sometimes, if you give a loan to somebody, aren't you supposed to put it in writing also?
It's ideally you should. Yeah, ideally you should. There should be no misunderstandings, is the idea.
Right. But there's no, it's just that they'll pay you back on such and such a date, by such and such a date.
Right, yeah. And then also the amount. The amount should be important to write down. Mm-hmm. So let's take some common cases. Let's say someone borrows from their friend $1,000. And it's supposed to be paid off by January 1st. So January 1st arrives, and you can't pay it back yet. So you say, I'll pay you an extra $50 if you give me another month. So I'm going to pay you some money to extend the loan out for another month.
So this is a
rebate. So that's a rebate, right. That's actually, it's a dispute if it's rabbinic or if it's a Torah problem, but it's a problem. So you can't do that. So you could talk to your friends and say, please, can you let me have more time? But you can't offer money for the extra time because then they're making cash off of the loan being extended. That's a problem. Let's say a sort of an opposite scenario. Let's say I have a loan for $1,000 and it's due in January. But I go to the lender and I say, you know what? Thank God I did very well this month. I'll pay you back a month early, but I'll give you $900 instead. Right, so I'm going to give you a little bit less. I mean, if you accept it, obviously, but I'll give you less money if I pay it back in December. But I'll pay you the full amount back in January. So that's fine, because there the loan is not $900. The loan's $1,000. The debt's $1,000. A lender's allowed to pardon some of the debt. That's totally fine. So that's not an issue at all.
But the lender has to agree to.
Yes, of course. Yeah, lenders agree to that. Let's say another case. Let's say, I'll lend you $1,000, but I want you to shop at my store next time you have to go buy something. That's a problem, because now besides getting back the money I lent you, I'm also asking you to give me a benefit, and that's an issue. There's also cases, let's say, I've just recently heard, I haven't looked into this, let's take a credit union. A lot of people have loans through credit unions. So credit unions essentially are all the members are lending to each other. That's how they're structured. It's not a corporation, but each lender in the credit union is lending to each other. So again, ask your rabbi, but I've heard recently that some rabbis have come out that this could be an issue when there's Jews involved in the credit union, which inevitably there will be. Because now it's not just a corporation giving you money, but there's an individual Jew amongst all the people of the credit union that are part of the loan that you're receiving from them. So that could really be a problem. Sometimes we even have a bank that's Jewish owned, even in America, or even though usually they're corporations, but let's say a majority owner of this bank is Jewish. So you can have a bank which is publicly sold on the stock market, but the majority shareholder is a Jew. You could have an issue in a situation like that, and you take out a mortgage from that bank or a loan. So again, ask your rabbi. It's not a simple thing. It's a complicated thing. But these are all issues we have to be aware of them. It's a very serious prohibition, and it does come up often. I remember years and years ago, I put money into a certain bank, and then I read an article in some Jewish publication that this bank did have a majority Jewish share owner, and many rabbis were asking people to take their money out of the bank. So I took my money out of the bank and moved to a different bank. So it does happen sometimes.
How about a case where you're buying shares of stock? Suppose you buy shares of stock in an Israeli, probably Jewish-owned company.
Yeah.
and then the price of the stock goes up and down according to businesses.
But that's an investment. That's different than a loan. Yeah, you're not giving them a loan. You're investing in it and you're sharing the profits. That's a different story. Right, yeah. Again, a lot of it is based on the legal definition of what you're doing. But investing is okay and encouraged, you know, and being partners in business is fine. Just it's a matter of if it's a loan, you can't take benefit from that loan. And that's, so again, there's a lot of complex halachas. Yeah. This is a major, very complex area of halacha. But you have to be able to know when it's an issue and it's not an issue. When it comes to lending to a non-Jew with ribbis, there's actually a dispute. Is it just allowed? Is it could be a mitzvah to lend to non-Jew with ribbis? Some the Sefer HaChinuch says it's actually a mitzvah to lend to a non-Jew. You should lend them with ribbis. The Ramban, Nachmanides, argues with that. Certainly, if there's a reason for what you're doing, you know, you want to give them an interest-free loan because you feel it's going to create peace amongst your neighbors. That's fine. If you're doing it because you have a personal gain to gain from this, you know, you want something in the future from this person, that's fine. But Sefer HaChinuch would say that really you should specifically charge interest to a non-Jew, which is interesting. The one reason for this would be, the way that he says, is that we want to show that the favors that we do for others are not just because I'm a nice person, because I respect those who are loyal to the Torah. And someone who is not loyal to the Torah, I don't give them the same favors I give to a Jew who is loyal to the Torah. So there is an idea like that. Again, Nachmanides argues, Ramban, and he says that no, it's okay to give to non-Jew without interest. But it's allowed. And then the point is that it's not that you're supposed to, but it's allowed. So that's actually a dispute. Again, you can ask your rabbi if you're involved in giving out loans what to do. But certainly, even the Sefer HaChinuch agrees, if you're trying just to create good relationships, called Darche Shalom, then it's okay to give to them without interest, and that's fine. Bottom line is that this is a very complex topic. If you are involved in loans or in business dealings, you should definitely ask a rabbi for specifics to make sure you're doing it right, because if you're not, you're involved in a very serious Torah prohibition. Ultimately, there's a verse in Tehillim. It says, "Kaspel nosa maneshech." It's talking about the virtues of a great person. And it says one virtue of a great person, they never give out their money with interest. And the Gemara says, not even to a non-Jew. I mean, somebody who wants to give out to everybody freely, doesn't want to get involved in taking from others, that's considered a virtue. And therefore, and that's praise in Tehillim. So obviously, loans without interest are considered a beautiful thing. To a Jew is prohibited. To a non-Jew, it's allowed. But any questions that we do have, we should certainly ask the rabbi and make sure we're doing it right.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I have a question. So what if somebody owns a band? Who owns a band?
Yeah.
Should you